you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Unpacking the Toolbox is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
How's your social life lately? What have you been doing? Have you been going out? Wait, do you have heat?
No heat yet, but today they just installed the water heater today. So folks, it's been almost a month that I've been showering with literally freezing cold water. It's like extra cold. But today is they just installed the water heater. So as I was showering today, it went from freezing cold to like hot. And I was like, oh. I didn't, but you check this out, Katie. So in the middle of me taking the hot shower, I turned it all the way to cold. Like, not completely cold, but I was like, oh, this is too, because I don't know. My body
You're
has
not
been
trained
so
used to, oh my
I know.
God.
And now I'm like, well, I don't want it too hot. Yeah, I was like, oh, God.
Whoa, you'll change that.
Yeah, it'll change.
That'll go away.
Yeah.
That will go away. Well, I have shit all in my teeth because
I probably do too.
I was drinking a smoothie. Have you ever had Miralax?
No.
I think it makes you poop.
Oh, listen, who knows me knows that I poop like a duck. I don't need any help.
Wow. Yeah. You and I are yin and yang.
Yeah. I could literally think about pooping and be like, I have to go to the bathroom.
You're so lucky. If I don't chug like the most water ever, I am just not a regular gal.
Really?
I was just watching this episode.
Oh, Darby.
Her acting work, I'm so envious. Ugh. Like, I just fuck her fucking face, fucking hair, her fucking body,
her acting chops.
Her acting chops, she's unbelievable.
Listen, there's that scene when she's like boarding David in his apartment, even her hair was acting.
That's what I was just finishing watching, and she's like the best at. Almost getting upset.
Yes.
Like, and holding it.
Which is so much more powerful than going there and, like, flipping out completely.
Oh, my God.
Darby, and the first day we met her, if I'm not mistaken, was when we were about to do a table read, right? For, like, some executives, whoever it was, some of Shonda was a writer, but producers and what have you, studio people. But that's the first time we met her, and the first time, like, she had just been cast. And then she was thrown into like, okay, now we're going to do the table read.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. Crazy.
Yes. And I also remember meeting her. She like came in and she was wearing the like suit I think she wore to like the audition, which she had just had. I also think that the breakdown was like for a much older woman who likes cats or like pin, like needling, like fucking sewing or whatever. Like, again, similar to you, like, she was completely different from what the breakdown called for.
Yes. And I love that Shonda has an open mind that way. And she's like, nope, I'm going completely against type.
Yeah.
From, you know, that was in the breakdown. A breakdown is a description of the character. That's
when you go in for the audition. It's like you look in, like
describing the character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The most famous one that I ever heard of was, I think, on Grey's Anatomy. This is like folklore in Shondaland. I don't know if this is true, but I had heard that the breakdown for Chandra Wilson's character. So Chandra Wilson, who fucking runs Grey's Anatomy and is like, you know, the bulldog. She plays Dr. Bailey. The breakdown was for a Kristen Chenoweth type.
What?
Like a tiny Southern blonde, like the girl next, like a teeny, teeny animal that you would never expect to be the to like fucking force. Driver of the, you know, that.
Wow. I wonder if Kristen Chenoweth auditioned for the role.
Yeah, she might.
Right?
And then supposedly Chandra Wilson came in. And Shonda and Linda Lowy were like, nope, Bailey.
I can't imagine anyone else playing that role. Do you remember when Chandra, like, to make it clear, it's Chandra.
Chandra.
Not Shonda.
People call Chandra.
Brilliant women.
It's Hawk, it's Millie, and it's Chandra Rhymes to, like, everyone in my family. I'm like, it is not Chandra Rhymes. Yeah, like, Shonda. Please stop. It's Chandra Wilson.
Yes.
And Shonda Rhymes.
Exactly. And do you remember when Chandra came on set and she was shadowing? I think she was shadowing a director for a few days. Oh, man. I was so starstruck.
I was, too.
I love her so much. She's such a great actor. She's so good.
She's such a great everything. And she also was the person that sat me down and I was like, how do you do this? Like, how do you
really
have longevity? Like, she was just saying the key to episodic television was to just... Like, it's all about the journey and the pace rather than, like, the, you know, what did I get this episode or what didn't I get or whatever. Right, she's like, you have to look at this as, like, one huge, very long-paced thing and really think about, like, the healthiest things you can do for the longevity of this.
Right. That's such great advice. Because even for me, I mean, there were times that I'd read an episode and I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, Huck is hardly in this, and so-and-so has so much stuff to do, and, you know, you start to take it personal, but I love that advice. It's you know, it's a marathon.
Yeah, she was like,
sprint,
no.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
And never failed. There was always an episode down the pike that it was, like, super heavy with your character, you know what I mean? So
yes.
If you just, you know, patience.
By the way, people, we are talking about episode 206 quick.
Yes, Spies Like Us.
We're talking about episode 206, Spies Like Us. It aired on November 15th in 2012.
And it was written by Chris Van Dusen and directed by Bethany Rooney.
There is a fucking scene where you're in Huck's office and I walk in and you're listening to this amazing music, which we'll talk about in a second of what's going on in the episode. But I... Camo,
what?
I come in and it's so obvious that I'm looking at my mark. Like, I'm looking for my mark.
Really?
And it's the dumbest.
Oh,
you have to go back to the first scene where you are like decoding the classical sheet music that had been sent to Olivia's
OPA
open.
Walks in there. Yeah.
And someone's already in there. I think Darby's already in there being like,
Darby,
what the fuck is that sound? And Quinn walks in. And I take a real long step, looking down for a while, and then you see my dumbass fucking face
look up
and trying to pretend like no one noticed how long I just, like, looked down for the mark.
Yo, for the listeners, a mark, like, when you're acting, the camera department will put down a piece of tape with different color. All actors have their own color, and they call those marks, and you have to hit those marks so the camera could focus on you properly. But oftentimes, like, I see it all the time in movies and TV shows where people look down and then they look up and start acting because they're looking for their mark. They want to make sure they hit their mark. Because if you're off, then, you know, you're out of focus or you're not in the frame.
Right. And the mark is like a T shape with one piece of masking tape that goes in between your left and right foot and then a T, the top of the T that your toes are supposed to hit.
Yeah.
And, like, on Scandal, a lot of times with the beveled glass and all this shit, it was like if you missed it by even an inch, you were fucked and you were fucking up their shot.
Yeah. I made sure always to be like walk up to the mark once or twice and get used to it.
Yeah.
Without looking at it. And then yeah. I always told myself, do not look for your mark. Because I would rather be off.
And act the shit out of it than look down.
Yeah.
Oh, well, honey, go back in this episode and take a look at my work. Because it is amateur acting 101. It is garbage on a fucking stick. It's so bad.
I fucking doubt it.
It's really bad.
It. You're still brilliant.
Episode 206 is guest starring Susan Poorfar as Becky Flynn, Sam Anderson as Melvin Feen, Mary Pat Gleason as Betsy Ray,
Adam Lazar White as Paul Gray, and Sarah Aldrich as Maggie Andrews, who's also Wink.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They have all their spy names.
Yeah.
And you were Spin.
Oh, I was Spin because they thought he would never find someone. So Spin, short for spinster, right?
You. And you know what? At the end of Scandal, they were right.
Jake is still fucking Willie Spin.
Willie Spins is just alone.
God damn it.
What the fuck? Ugh. Okay, synopsis real quick. Huck's old handler publicly executes himself as a warning to Huck, who is prepared to leave at a moment's notice. But Olivia begs for time to sort out what's going on, where she then learns that about the threat to expose B613 from an internet hacker.
Huck assembles his old co-workers, an ensemble of fellow assassins, one of whom must be the person ready to supply the proof of the other operatives.
The OPA team only have a short time to fix the case before the killers handle the issue themselves.
That's right.
That's right. So many guns in this episode.
So many guns.
Yo, guns. Fuck.
Our fucking props people were so 100% like top, like shelf, like professionals. Like there was never a handing off of a gun. Without everyone, I remember the crew even asking to look inside the gun.
Yeah.
If we were, any of us were holding a gun.
I can't believe how many times on that show I held a gun. Didn't you?
Me too.
Like hundreds of times.
You know, a memory that popped up watching this episode is how fucking heavy are those damn guns. When you've done scenes like that.
Guillermo, you told me about shooting this episode.
Oh my God,
tell
my
us,
hands were shaking. Everybody's was. When you're holding a gun, listen, it's not heavy, but when you're holding a gun up to another person in a scene, and sometimes in this scene we're holding that gun up and there's like how many people, there's like 8 of us in the scene, so you have to hold that gun up for everyone's coverage. That shit gets
arms were shaking. You would tell you shaking. Told me after you shot this episode that it's like you're fucking hot, like, you're trying to look like a motherfucker, like you're trying to be so cool, and you're holding your gun with like a perfectly straight arm like at someone's face, and your arm is just straight
it's
up quivering,
shaking. My fucking breasts are sweating.
Your pectorals?
My pectorals are sweating.
Oh my God. I love this episode. I love everything having to do with spies.
I feel like we say that every single episode, but they're all fucking good.
I know, they're all fucking good. But at this point, Quinn is not a spy. Quinn is not B613. This is the first motherfucking episode that we ever hear the words B613.
Yes.
What writer in the writer's room came up with the terminology B613? Give
like,
him
what
cookies.
The fuck. This is also the first episode that I was like, yo, this episode feels special. It feels different. I was like, this episode could be a movie.
Yes. It totally felt like a movie.
Yeah. And it's this ominous, like dangerous tone to it. It's such a special episode. And it was special shooting it too.
It almost feels like a bottle episode where like, it's its own storyline and its own container. I mean, that's not true because the episode is filled with other stuff. There's like shit going on in the White House where James Novak writes a fucking article on the front page of the Times out like that using that Cyrus is talking shit about Hollis and now Hollis has got a bone and it's bad.
Yeah. We have Edison and Olivia like going on a date.
They're super cute together. Yeah. But the shit that's going on in OPA is big talk, big fighting for the office. There's Steven has not been in the office and it's been sitting there empty
for
this entire second season. And everyone's doing big office talk. Abby, Harrison, and Quinn all want that office.
Yeah.
But I just love this episode. What I was thinking is like, oh my God, Quinn has no idea yet that she's going to be B613, that she at one point on this show is also going to be trained, that she's going to know how to do all this shit. Like,
There's even a scene where you mention what is B613 and Olivia gives you this look and you're like, what?
What?
What did I say?
Like, what's the issue?
Yeah. You're still that deer in headlights in this episode.
Oh, God. We will be back with more after the break.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
The Abby David shit in this episode is a huge winner. I mean, he starts the episode saying, like, you want a drawer? It just is filled with, like, my hiking shit, and I don't go hiking, so would you like a drawer?
Yeah. And she's but just also, like, it goes from so that, cute. Right? To, like, a shot of Olivia listening to that conversation. Like, she's spying on them. And it was the first time I was like, oh, shit. Like, Olivia's no joke. Like, she's going dark. Like,
bad.
Below the
this
belt.
Is like bad friend. You're a bad, bad, bad friend. Like, your friend is clearly very happy. He's a very good dude. I think Carrie did such a good job. There's, like, the bobblehead scene where she's listening and overhearing that Abby and David are getting more serious. And then she knows that they can't be together because we can't have Abby and them figuring out about Defiance. But she sends in Bro-Livia. And by Bro-Livia, I mean Harrison.
Hell yeah.
Harrison goes to Olivia like, shit's getting weird in here, dude. Shit is getting weird. There are fucking spies in here. Abby's having sex with, you know, David Rosen. You are with Edison. Like, what is going on? Things
you're
are
not letting
weird.
Go of Steven.
Yes. There's a ghost. There's a ghost in this office.
Like, what is up?
What is up? And she's like, he's like, what do I do? What can I
do? What
do
you need?
What do you need? And she's like, I need you to end David Rosen and Abby. And he's like, just kind of quiet. And then she kind of says this line while she's leaving the room, but she says, like, her husband used to beat her.
You might want to use that.
You might want to use that.
Oh, so
fucked
up.
Her. That's not right.
Oh, that's not right.
That's not what best friends do.
Hell no. And also because Harrison is so close with Abby, the fact that he's the one that then ends up going and pays one of Rosen's ex-girlfriends to
from 100 years ago.
Yes, from 100 years ago to lie and say that David beat her. Oh, it's such a fucked up situation all around.
So fucked up. And Darby does such exquisite work. We, at the end, more towards the end of the episode, she storms into David's apartment and she's like, you're not a good guy. You're not a good guy. Like, look, I have fucking photos of this girl's beat up fucking face from what you did. And he's like, go talk to her. Go ask her yourself. And she's like, I did. I went to coffee with her yesterday. She was crying and I trust
she
my
gut.
She
told me, yeah, I heard it from the horse's mouth. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
And then Abby is like, and these are the pictures of me when my husband beat me.
And I found them in your drawer. Like they were in your folders.
And I was a target because you knew that I was a target and that I was easy and that I was a weak person, which is like Abby's Achilles heel that anyone is ever going to think she's weak. And it's why she's built this character that's had this whole totally tough exterior. And then he tries to come near her and like kind of console her and she fucking flinches. And she's like, if you ever come near me, I will kill you. She's.
You believe that shit too.
Believable! You believe it. And then stupid ass bitch Olivia. Sorry, gladiators. I know we love Olivia more than anything and she can do no wrong. But then Abby's just sitting on her office OPA couch saying like, I'm sorry. I broke up with David Rosen. I betrayed you.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry.
Like, it's okay.
Yeah. She's holding tissues and Olivia's like, it's okay, honey. They're there. And they're Harrison there. Like walks through the back of the office there. Feeling like a shit like he should.
You said they're there. I fucking love that. Yo, but the other thing that stood out for me in this episode, they're there, are the fucking guest stars in this episode. Like, how fucking lucky were we to have these people? This dude, Sam Anderson, let me just rattle off a few of his credits.
Please do.
Newhart, Hardcastle and McCormick, The Golden Girls, Cagney and Lacey, What's Happening Now, 21 Jump Street, La Bamba, Forrest Gump, Growing Pains, Lost, of course, and then he did a bunch of horror movies. He did a movie called Ouija, Origin of Evil. And that's just a few of his credits.
Do you know any of the horror films he has appeared in?
I do. Ouija, Origin of Evil. It's about a Ouija board. Oh, man.
Do you like Ouija boards?
Hell no, Katie.
No.
I had a very bad experience with a Ouija board when I was in a grammar school and then in high school again. I played it with friends and it...
I did too.
It worked, man. It scared the shit out of me. I had horrible... dreams and nightmares, and I just felt...
From the first time or the second time or both?
From both. And then, years later, do you remember Teresa Caputo from the Long Island Medium?
Yeah, she's
a medium.
She's been on Katie's Crib talking about Good Morning, her book. Yes, I've been on her show, you've been on her show, and she's been a guest on Katie's Crib. We had her on my other podcast talking about how to teach children about death, how to talk to them about death, how to... properly mourn in front of children. She's fucking amazing. But what did she say?
They asked me to do an episode of Long Island Medium as well. And she came to me in Mikey's house and she did a reading. When she was reading us and doing her thing, she said, have you ever played with a Ouija board? And I said, yeah. And I was like, oh my God. And she said, there's a spirit that you conjured up that came out from when you played that has been with you your whole life. I have chills on my fucking arms right now. I'm not even kidding.
I am too, and I am fucking speechless, and you know I'm never speechless.
Katie, I can't believe how fucking high up the hairs on my arm are standing
did
up.
Did she say that the spirit was...
She said he's not bad. She even said his name. I believe his name was Charlie. I wrote it down in my thing. Isn't that crazy? But she said he just attached himself to me. He's not evil. He's not bad. But he just stayed with me. And she said, that's why people shouldn't, people think it's a game and it, you know, it's not real. But she was like, that's why people should not play because sometimes that could happen and it could be a bad spirit. And then you have this horrible energy like attached.
Yeah, she does say that when she brings up spirits. She always says this terminology that I don't really like to even think about because it kind of freaks me out. But she's like, we're only asking for the spirits to show up who are... you know, are of good intention and like goodwill or something like that. And I questioned her once about it. I was like, why do you have to say that? And I didn't want to even hear the answer because I was like kind of scared. But she was just like, well, because, you know, there can be some spirits that aren't, that don't have the best intentions and they're really not great. And I'm like, oh my God.
Just
what?
Like in real life, there's
that's
good and
fucking
bad people.
Terrifying. Yeah. Like,
but can you fucking believe that? That's my fucking experience with Ouija boards. So
why did you do it again the second time after the first time?
I don't know because of, you know, peer pressure, your friends, we were all hanging
out. I did
it
too. I was
peer
pressured like multiple times to do it. It was fucking horrible. And you're all screaming at each other like, you're moving it. No, you're moving it. You moved it. And you were supposed to start the Ouija board session with like, are there any spirits currently in the room or something like that?
Yeah.
And it'll point to like, yes.
Yeah.
And then you're like, ah! Yeah. And then you're like, what is your name? And then it like spells out a name. And then you're like, ah!
And when I played it, I went to Catholic school my whole life. I played it in our cafeteria in my school, which is attached to a church. So I was in a sort of, you know, a sacred place, if you will.
Nope.
And that's where I was playing it. And then we played it again at my friend's house that same day, that same night. Anyway.
And she said, Charlie has attached himself to you your whole life.
Can you believe that?
Do you ever, when you're alone in a room, do you feel like I'm not alone because he's here? Or do you feel, do you ever feel totally alone?
I thank the universe that I never feel anything evil or unsettling around me. It's funny, after Teresa did that whole day with us of shooting and you know, giving us the reading for about a week, Mikey and I kept seeing stuff like moving, or we were like shadows, and it felt like there was presences around us, and it was weird. And then we talked to someone who worked on the show, and they said, yeah, sometimes they'll spirits will stick around, you know, for a little bit, because she just had them all come to your house so she could talk to them.
Oh,
And that was weird. But it wasn't, again, it wasn't evil. It wasn't, you know, anything negative.
Charlie is not malevolent.
Yes, yes.
How did we get on this subject?
I don't, because fucking Sam, what is the guy? Oh, actor Sam Anderson did a movie board called movie. The Ouija, Origin of Evil. Oh my God.
Was it a good movie?
Oh, it was a good movie. But, you know, again, Ouija board movies freak me out.
Yeah,
because
no
I start thinking about my experiences.
Odd. Okay, so other things that happened in this episode is that all these guest stars come in, and the, all of the OPA people are waiting for all of them to arrive, and we think they're going to be like the craziest, most badass-looking spies you've ever seen in your life. And the first one to come out is Maggie Andrews Wink, and she's so cute, and she's a mother of three, and she's a little pink cardigan.
Yeah, super blonde.
Super blonde. And then all of a sudden she starts to like throw all of her guns in the basket.
Yeah, Huck is like, we got to scrub you. Yeah. I love that too, because even when I first read this episode, I thought I had all these like, you know, just your stereotypical like thug looking, spy looking people. I was like, oh, there's going to be some interesting actors. And they were all very like, woman next door, guy next door,
and
in suits,
like such
well dressed.
The other one looks like a librarian, Mary Pat Gleason, who's unbelievable.
Yo, Mary Pat Gleason, I love her. She just passed away in 2020. She's been in a ton of great stuff. She was in Mama's Family, which I love so much. I love the Carol Burnett Show and Murphy Brown.
Oh my God,
True Beverly Hills.
She's legend.
She's a legend. She was in The Crucible. Yeah, she played Martha Corey in The Crucible.
Yeah,
which I love. She was in Basic Instinct.
She's had such an incredible. She had an incredible career. I'm so sad to hear that she died.
I know, right? Me too. And her character's name is Matches.
Because she could just light shit the fuck
light shit up.
Up,
burn the place down.
What was Maggie Andrews' special spy forte?
Wink. She was a sniper. A sniper. So he said every time he looked at her, she had one eye closed.
Right. And then, Sam Anderson comes off. He's like a doctor. And we learn like he thought he was a doctor doing good. And then he realized he was still addicted to just fucking cutting bodies open.
Yes. Yeah. That's I love that piece of information.
Me too.
And Huck says something like he was an expert at knowing how much pain someone could take before they actually die.
And now he's a doctor.
Oof.
God.
Fuck. And then there's a couple of other spies. Adam Lazar White, who plays Paul Gray, who's like a professor now.
Yes.
And he could speak like 17 languages.
Languages. Yep. And then the last person to walk off the OPA elevator is our one and only Charlie. And what was his nickname?
Charlie's nickname was Charles Manson.
Yeah. But did he have a specialty? Does it say?
He was amazing, really great at disappearing someone for good, like really well. Yeah.
Which we saw him do in season one to Amanda Tanner.
Yes. And that's why you see the tension between Huck and Charlie in this episode is super heavy and just loaded with like.
Did the two of you do any actor prep work for that?
We did not. You know, our actor prep work was going, hey, George, I'm going to go to Crafty. You want to come? He was like, yup. And we'd both go to Crafty and like Gray's Crafty. Ooh, look, they have little pieces of cake. Ooh, I think there's sandwiches over there. That was our fucking prep work.
You guys are. And then I would join in on that. Always.
Yeah. You were like, what do they have? We'll be right back, guys.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Okay, other winning moments, winning scenes of this ep. Okay, Quinn gets a new office.
Yeah.
Which I love because Harrison moves over to Steven's office. So Quinn does the stupid thing with her jaw and she drops another goddamn cup of coffee because we've left the spies for just a few minutes while we're figuring shit out. Olivia's out trying to work all of her contacts. The spies are all holding each other at gunpoint. And then Harrison comes in and has best monologue.
Oof.
Talking them down from shooting each other.
Yes.
And then he walks out and he's like, that's big office talk, baby.
Big office talk.
And he goes into Steven's office. And then I'm like, yay, I get my office too. And yeah. I like run out to my own. And then we see this close up on Harrison where actually that was impossible for him. And it was all a front and his hand like can't stop shaking because he thought he was going to get shot and everybody was going to die.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. There's also a really memorable scene in this episode is when Huck is fussing with the radio, with an old school radio.
Yeah.
And he's calling the spies through the frequencies of the radio. And I just love that so much. And you hear in the background, you hear Three Blind Mice playing. And it's so ominous and dark and oh, so cool. A radio for you guys, for the younger generation, is an apparatus, a box that we would turn on with a button. We would plug it into the wall, somewhere battery operated, and you could hear music out of it.
Yeah, and you could you couldn't scroll with a button. You actually had to like turn a dial.
You had to turn a fucking dial
to find a fucking station.
And some radios had cassette tape holders, and you could put a cassette tape. And when you found your favorite station, like Z100 or BLS, were some of my favorites. And when they played your favorite song, you'd press record and record that song.
We are such New Yorkers. Z100 is what I grew up
really?
On. Oh my God.
Oh,
Z100 all day,
hell
one night.
Yeah, right.
Z100 okay. New York.
Oh, yes. Oh, man. Radios. I miss radios. Does anybody have radios anymore?
Well, you're still on an iPod, honey.
I'm still on a fucking iPod.
So you're like the only person I know that doesn't have Spotify.
God damn it.
Or do you have Sirius radio in your car?
I do. I have Sirius in my car, yeah.
And
yeah,
is there a Madonna station? No, right?
Not that I know of. No, not that I know of.
Okay. You would know.
I
so
would know.
There's
yeah.
not.
There's an Elvis Presley station.
There is
enough,
and it's
yeah.
great, but there's not yeah. a Madonna one yet.
Uh-oh.
Yet. What I love the most also about this episode, and then we can do some fun facts, but
yeah.
when Abby just is crying at the end, and she leaves David, and we're wrapping up the episode, and we see that the rest of the spies are going to go off and live happy lives because they found the one spy that sorted out of them, the doctor.
Yeah.
Sam Anderson. They shoot him.
Yeah. Huck has this like heart-wrenching speech
convincing all the spies. Talk about that.
Not because they
let's
they
not kill anyone.
Right? Yeah. They figure out that Melvin Fee is the rat. Right. So then all the spies want to kill him. They want to murder him.
Yeah.
And Huck has this lovely speech and he's like, you know, he's one of us. Like, he's just a regular guy and he just wanted a better life and blah, blah, blah. And all the spies are like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then next thing you know, 2 seconds later, fucking Wink shoots him dead between the eyes. And Huck is just sitting there in a chair.
Huck is just sitting there like lost. Like,
yeah.
You were reformed.
Yeah, slightly. Yes, yes, yes.
Slightly.
Slightly. But that's such a wonderful scene where they have that time lapse scene of the
cleaning
spies
up.
Cleaning up. And then there's even a moment where a Wink cleans my face and Huck is just sitting there the whole time. Just like, I can't believe this happened. Just like, you know.
Do you remember anything from shooting that?
Yeah, I remember it being a really, really emotional, emotional scene to shoot. It was fun. I had a blast doing it.
Well, I can't take the fucking sound. When you do the time lapse and the cleanup and the spies go on to live their happy lives, except for Charlie, who, you know, he's looking to get back in business, most likely with Cyrus. And we see David Rosen putting a picture of James on his wall, and he's totally ready to return back to the Cytron case without Abby. He's going to do it alone. And Edison and Olivia are sort of moving their relationship forward. And we end the episode with Edison staying over at Olivia's. But the whole time, it's my favorite song. It's Broken Windows and Empty Hallways.
Oh,
a pale dead moon
in
the sky streaked with gray. Human kindness is overflowing. And I think it's gonna rain.
Oh, sing it, bitch. Yeah.
It's so fucking beautiful.
Wait, who sings that, Katie?
It's Nina Simone. I think it's gonna rain today. And the lyrics are so outstanding. And the whole song is like so beautiful and so juxtaposed to the mood of, like, it's the best fucking song choice, Scandal.
It puts you in your feels. Like, it puts
God
you in your,
damn it.
It shoves you in your feels. Katie,
yes.
Can I just say, you have such a beautiful voice. I've heard Katie sing so many times throughout my life.
Since I've known
Katie Kulose. But that was so good, man.
Thank you. I love
I
to sing and I don't get to do it very
long.
Often, but like, it is one of the first loves of my life until I realized, oh, shit, I ain't as great as, like, so many people at this. I think I'm going to go over here and do acting by itself.
By itself?
Like, other fun facts of this episode, like I said, this is the first fucking mention of B613. What else? What other facts you got?
Another fun fact that I sort of discovered on my own when I was looking up guest stars on IMDb is that Ron Ostrow, who was one of our stand-ins, plays Sarnoff in the computer, and his face is blurred.
Who
Did
is
you,
it?
Ron Ostrow. Remember, he was sort of this skinny older guy.
Oh my God, I love Ron. Of course. Oh my God, I'm sorry. I'm thinking about him in terms of other. He's the best.
Yeah,
he's so
plays,
wonderful.
He plays Sarnoff in this episode.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God, shout out to him. What a freaking, oh my God.
That was
God.
A little treat. Yeah,
I haven't thought about him forever. What a dream guy. Okay.
Right.
Olivia Pope makes a reference to Monica Lewinsky defending former President Bill Clinton when she's talking to Edison. Remember this when they're on the end of their date at the beginning of the episode? And FYI, I mean, if you don't fucking know this, then you're not a real gladiator. But Judy Smith is the woman who inspired Scandal and inspired Olivia Pope. But during the Monica Lewinsky Bill Clinton scandal, Judy Smith actually represented Monica.
Check that out.
Hell and Monica is good friends with Shonda.
She is?
Yeah, in real life.
That's some that's crazy talk right there. Do you have Monica Lewinsky's phone number in your phone? Tell me the truth, Katie.
You know what's crazy? Monica Lewinsky's ridiculously smart.
Oh.
And I'm
going to
feel
super
intimidated.
Didn't she write she wrote a book, right?
Yep.
Doesn't she have her own pocketbook that she designed, her own purses?
Yes.
Right? She has her whole
amazing.
Line of
And I want to tell the greatest Monica Lewinsky behind the scenes story that I've ever known, but I'm going to wait because Judy Smith was the one to tell it.
Oh.
At like a scandal thing, and I have to wait for her to
really
she's gonna come up
oh,
and tell
man.
Herself. I don't want to blow it. You guys are just going to need to tune in, and you're going to need to keep listening to Unpacking the Toolbox if you want to know some Monica Lewinsky shit.
Girl.
Let's look at the tweet, 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 tweet,
tweet, tweet, tweet, tweet, tweet, tweet, tweet, tweet, Whitney Robinson at Whitney Race 66 said, I'm pretty pissed the season finale of Jersey Shore will be on at the same time as Scandal. Hashtag what to do. Really, Whitney? Really?
I feel Scandal, you, obviously. I've watched every episode of Jersey Shore.
You have?
And oh I would choose God. Jersey Shore over Scandal.
You would? What about both? What
it's
about
the best
both?
Show in the world.
Listen.
Scandal me uses too much of your brain. Jersey Shore is just like reading garbage. It's the best. It's
Hell
nothing
yeah.
but
I agree.
Sheer
I
fucking
agree.
Entertainment. It's the fucking best and the worst of humankind. I love it so much.
Yes.
At Lori S. Cloud 9 tweeted on November 5th, 2012, no, Team Fitz. Mm-hmm. And she was in response to, do you think Edison is good for Olivia? Yeah. Lots of people on the Twitter did not want Edison and Olivia together.
There's a lot of tweets about Edison here. And I'm trying to make heads or tails of them. But Veronica at I Love Casey Chiefs said, Scandal ABC, right? I'm not here for Edison. Look at me. Season one is what hooked me as a viewer. Hashtag Scandal. I think she's trying to say, don't bring no new people up in this piece.
We only
like,
want Tony.
Fits, but that's it. Don't bring
Same.
Around Senator and- Puddin' Pop.
Same that I Love Casey Chiefs actually in response to Outlaw Josie, who at Outlaw Josie is an OG gladiator from the way back. We love you, Outlaw Josie. But
yeah,
she wrote, did you read where Betsy Beers said Edison is sticking around? My question is ... why?
Why? She don't want to have it. She don't want none.
Nope.
Let's see. Boop here at Olivia Twist. Is replying to Scandal ABC saying, oh, the dish, people fixing elections for Republicans. How timely. I guess some shady shit was going down in the world back then. Nothing compared to the shady shit that's going down in the world in our political world.
Since then.
Right now, since then.
Jesus. The next episode we have up, Guillermo Willy Diaz with Charlie, the spirit
God
who follows you around.
Damn it.
Is called Defiance.
Yeah.
Do you remember what the hell happened in that one?
I do not.
Wow.
Not a clue.
You and I have
not
no.
A clue.
I think it's a flashback, though.
Is it?
I think it's a flashback. I don't know.
Fits. We'll find out.
This is what we could tell you. It's going to be hilarious. It's going to be awesome. We're going to give you behind the scenes scoop. We may have a guest. We may not have a guest. Gladiators, we hope you had as good of a time as we did.
You guys, please keep coming back and listening to Unpacking the Toolbox because there's a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah, we got a lot more tools to bring out.
Yeah.
I'm shocked at myself that I haven't said that yet.
Ooh.
We're in the middle of season two and there's such great shit coming up and we love you. We love you and yours. We love you, all you gladiators. Have a wonderful week and weekend. Peace out.
Peace. Thank you guys for joining us on Unpacking the Toolbox. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, share with your friends, rate, or leave us a review.
Scandal is executive produced by Sandy Bailey, Alex Alche, Lauren Homan, Tyler Klang, and Gabrielle Collins. Our producer and editor is Vince DiGianni, with music by Chad Fisher.
Scandal is a production of ABC Signature, and you can follow along by rewatching Scandal on Hulu.
Unpacking the Toolbox is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app or anywhere you subscribe to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. It's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.